This is
from Washington. This is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Egypt answered a bloody machine gun attack on a bus carrying Coptic Christian pilgrims. Friday, airstrikes were directed at terror bases in Libya, where the militant Islamic gunmen were believed to have trained. This Coptic Christian said they are used to killing, but we will never surrender. We will never change, he says, and will support Egypt and the regime. They will die and we will live. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack, although it bore the hallmarks of Egypt's Islamic State affiliate, which has carried out 4 attacks on Copts since December. Washington Post newspaper reporting that Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, discussed with Russia's ambassador to Washington the possibility of setting up a secret communications channel between the Trump transition team and the Kremlin. U.S. news outlets had already reported Kushner is being investigated by the FBI and its probe of possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Mr. Trump has repeatedly denied any collusion. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee has requested that President Trump's political organization submit all Russia-related documents, as well as emails and phone records going back to 2015. There is a separate federal probe being led by the U.S. Justice Department special counsel. Mr. Trump's campaign committee, now led by former deputy campaign manager Michael Glassner and John Pence, the nephew of Vice President Mike Pence, have not yet responded for request. This is VOA News. While various investigations into any connection between the Trump campaign and Russia continue back in the U.S., President Trump is in Sicily for the G7 summit. VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman is traveling with the president and has a look back at day one of the summit.
Trump's day started with a chat with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
We'll be discussing terrorism, but I think we will really be in particular focused on the North Korea problem.
European leaders, however, had climate change on their minds. Specifically, they are looking for a commitment by Trump, who once called climate change a hoax, to adhere to the Paris Accord signed by President Barack Obama. Despite Trump's reservation about the Paris Accord, all sides indicated the talks had gone well. Other divisive issues include trade and immigration. Steve Herman, VOA News, at the G7 summit in Taormina, Italy.
U.S. pop singer Ariana Grande says she will return to Manchester, England to play a benefit show, raising money for the 22 victims and families of this week's terrorist attack. Grande had just finished her show on Monday night when a suicide bomber blew himself up in the crowded lobby of the Manchester Arena. Former U.S. Democratic Party presidential nominee Hillary Clinton did not mention Donald Trump by name, but while delivering a graduation day address at Wellesley College on Friday, she aimed barbs at her rival in last year's election.
You are graduating at a time when there is a full-fledged assault on truth and reason. Just log on. Just log on to social media for 10 seconds. It will hit you right in the face.
Clinton said it is on social media that alternate truths abound. She also took aim at President Trump's proposed budget, calling it an attack of unimaginable cruelty on the most vulnerable among us. Clinton said graduates shouldn't be afraid of their ambitions, dreams, or even their anger, calling them powerful forces that can be harnessed to make a difference in the world. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the national security advisor to U.S. President Jimmy Carter, has died. He was 89. His death announced on social media late Friday by his daughter, MSNBC host Mika Brzezinski. She called him the most inspiring, loving, and devoted father any girl could ever have. Brzezinski helped topple economic barriers between the Soviet Union, China, and the West, and he helped Carter bridge wide gaps between Egyptian and Israeli leaders, leading to the Camp David Accords.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Hello again and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, your host. This isn't just another edition of Jazz America. This is the celebration of what would have been the 91st birthday on the 26th of May of maybe the most influential jazz man of all time, Miles Davis. Miles Dewey Davis was born on the 26th of May in 1926 in Alton, Illinois. He grew up in East St. Louis, the son of a doctor. He moved to New York City and traveled all over the world, eventually ended up in California, where he passed away at the young age of 65 in Santa Monica, California, his adopted home. This is going to be a most interesting edition of Jazz America and a tough one to give you because there's so much music to give you from the five-plus decade career of Miles Davis. And I say maybe the most influential man in all of jazz history because he went through so many phases and directed so many other young musicians who followed him to create new forms of jazz as the music evolved under his tutelage. We're going to hear him playing his trumpet from the fiery side to the gentle side. And before we get into more of the specifics of his career, let's just enjoy some of his music. From the album Porgy and Bess from 1958, with Gil Evans, the late great arranger, conducting the band, which included more famous names than I have time to give you. Here is Miles Davis with Paul Chambers, Cannonball Adderley, Gil Evans joining on arrangement, Jimmy Cobb, and so many others with the George Gershwin classic, Summertime. From Porgy and Bess, it's Miles Davis to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
Someday I know he's coming back to call me. He's gonna handle me and hold me so. It's gonna be like dying, Porky, deep inside me.
There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York. Come with me, that's where we belong. Sister, you and me, we'll live the high life in New York. So come with me, there you can't go wrong. Sister, I'll buy you the swellest mansion.
You will?
On up a Fifth Avenue.
Oh, my.
And through Harlem we'll go strutting, we'll go strutting, and there'll be nothing too good for you. And I'll dress you in silks, satin,
satin,
in the latest Paris styles. And the blues you'll be forgetting, you'll be forgetting, and there'll be no fret, and nothing but smile.
That's right. That's the place.
Oh, no.
Don't be a fool.
Leaving soon for New York. So come with me, that's where we belong. Sister, that's where we belong.
Some brand new music for you, helping us open up this edition of VOA's Jazz America with a bang. That's vocalist Clint Holmes, joined on vocals by newly named NEA jazz master D.D. Bridgewater and the Count Basie Orchestra, giving us I Loves You, Porgy, There's a Boat That's Leaving Soon from New York, music that Miles Davis certainly played in his incredible career, and that is a great way to salute Miles and give you some new music to Clint Holmes from the new release, Rendezvous. This is Russ Davis, and on this edition of Jazz America, as we celebrate the 91st birthday of Miles Davis on the 26th of May, we're going to give you the comments of some of the artists who worked with Miles Davis. Everybody who ever worked with him has their quote-unquote Miles story. Instead, we're just going to get some comments, some thoughts about this great master from four great masters who worked with him. We'll hear from great drummers Lenny White and Jack DeJohnette, as well as keyboardists Chick Corea, and in this case, Herbie Hancock. Here are some thoughts from Herbie about Miles, and then we'll hear some music that Miles Davis created with the help of Herbie Hancock.
Miles Davis, in many ways, is sort of a father musically to me, in that I learned the most important fundamental musical lessons from Miles during the time that I was working with him from 1963 to 1968. He was constantly looking for new ways to create music, you know, constantly carving out not just new songs, but new pathways. He created new pathways for others to follow. That's what he always did. And I think that's what gave him the spin of his life engine. And an example of Miles, again, creating new territory through his extraordinary vision is Bitches Brew, the first recording of what later became jazz fusion, but it's the use of pop and rock influences and R&B influences and jazz, from a standard traditional jazz approach, bebop approach, all the way to avant-garde approach.
We'll be right back.
From the 1965 release ESP, that is the title cut, the Wayne Shorter composition. Wayne on the tenor saxophone, along with Miles on trumpet, Ron Carter on bass, Tony Williams on drums, and on the piano, Herbie Hancock from 1965. Now, here's Herbie Hancock, who learned his lessons well from Miles Davis, taking it from the more straight-ahead approach, if you will, to the more avant-garde and electric. He took a song he had recorded on acoustic piano earlier, the song Butterfly, and turned it into an electric piece on his album This Is the Drum. Here's Herbie Hancock on Jazz America from VOA1. Blending electric and acoustic instruments so beautifully, just as Miles Davis taught him to do. That's Herbie Hancock. And Hubert Laws, featured prominently on the flute on that one, Butterfly, from Herbie's This Is the Drum album. Got more coming up with another jazz great who'll give us his Miles Davis story and more music of Miles as we celebrate his 91st birthday. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address: jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America @voanews.com. And here's a timely message I've received from Eugene Ampadu, who writes, I am Eugene Ampadu from Ghana, West Africa, and there is no better place to have a good update on jazz than on your program. I receive it live on 98.1 VOA. Thanks a lot. Can you update me on the current trends of jazz by playing any of the masters of this generation current work so I can appreciate it? Maybe Herbie Hancock. Well, Eugene, I will dedicate Herbie Hancock's music that you just heard to you. And speaking of masters, here's one that celebrated his 92nd birthday, 1 year older than Miles Davis, back in October. And he is one of the kings of jazz who has released, at the age of 92, a brand new release. He is the master of the vibes, Terry Gibbs, who worked in the swing era with the likes of Tommy Dorsey and Buddy Rich, Woody Herman, Benny Goodman, Louis Belson, Mel Torme, Buddy DeFranco, and in other words, just about everybody. And he works with his very talented son, the drummer Jerry Gibbs, who has a new recording of his own that has reached the top of the recent charts, and we'll play songs from those two back to back. But first, here is Terry Gibbs from his new album, 92 Years Young, jamming at the Gibbs House with his version of the classic Yardbird Suite.
This is Jack DeJohnette, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America.
Thank you.
just like his boss for so many years, his mentor, Miles Davis. Jack DeJohnette, the great drummer, composer, bandleader, award winner, has certainly pushed the envelope in many different directions in the evolution of jazz, quite often incorporating the sounds of the world, world music, to create world jazz. Case in point from the album Hybrids, The Ripple Effect. That's the song Worldwide Funk from the great Jack DeJohnette, who certainly worked with Miles Davis through many of his different phases in his career, from the more straight-ahead side of things into the jazz fusion era. Let's get some thoughts from Jack DeJohnette as he tells us one of his Miles Davis stories, his thoughts about Miles during the fusion era, then hear some of the music they made together from the album On the Corner. Jack DeJohnette joining us now on VOA's Jazz America.
Miles came up to me and sang this beat that I play. Actually, I kind of stick close to it through the track. I think it's called What I Say, I believe. And it's a hell of a track. That's one of my favorite tracks on there. And he said, Jack, he said, play this beat. And he tapped it on my shoulder. If you're an artist and you feel what your intuition tells you the path you're on is that's right for you, then nothing can stop that. Miles's music was crossing over then at that point. And so he was reaching a larger audience. And a lot of the rock musicians were really also getting turned on to Miles, and really, it was a great meeting of the musical cultures. The drummer was the anchor. It was the function of laying down the groove, especially in that electric period. Laying down the groove and also embellishing the groove. You know, keeping a steady pulse, but changing it, shifting it, you know, making subtle changes in it. And providing the, shall we say, the fire. Stoking the fire.
Once again, bringing in that world music influence. Black Satin, the name of the song from On the Corner, Miles Davis from 1972 with Jack DeJohnette on the drums and a host of other great players joining with him as always. And speaking of great players, here's one of the great guitarists who worked with Miles Davis over the years, Mike Stern, with his version of the Miles Davis classic, So What, from a collection titled Fusion for Miles, a Guitar Tribute, on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. Burns tribute to his former boss, So What? And coming up, more of our celebration of the 91st birthday of Miles Davis here on Jazz America.